So once again, this is Harinam Diksha, initiation. These very fortunate souls are being initiated into the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
As we mentioned yesterday, this is the Yuga Dharma, and anyone can benefit by chanting Hare Krishna. Prabhupada explains in Chaitanya Charitamrita that even if a rascal happens to repeat the holy names, just in jest, making fun of the Lord, although it is offensive, the holy name is all merciful, and there's a little particle of mercy. He gives the example of the Muslim man who, in the forest, may be hunting, and he's gored by a boar, so he says in their language, haram, how horrible. But because those are two syllables of the Maha Mantra, Krishna's holy name, there's some purification there. And one can become freed of sinful reactions, one can be freed of material desires, but Prabhupada explains very clearly that for the serious Vaishnava who wants to finish up material life altogether, fully awaken his love for Krishna, to achieve prema, he has to receive that mantra through Guru Parampara. And if he chants attentively, it serves nicely in association of devotees, every opportunity is there for going back home, back to Godhead. But for every do there is in Krishna consciousness also a don't. We call that the rules and the regulations. The rules are the do's and the regulations are the don'ts. So in the chanting of Hare Krishna, which is our primary means of purifying the heart and awakening our love for Krishna, there's 10 don'ts. There's 10 offenses to the holy name which must be strictly avoided in order to achieve the desired goal. The first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme devotees who have dedicated their lives for preaching the glories of the Lord. This is described as the hatimato, the mad elephant offense, because if an elephant, they're very big and bulky, sometimes they become angry if they somehow enter into the marketplace and start crashing and banging around, they break everything, or they may go into a garden and uproot the tender roots and vegetables and plants and destroy the garden. So in the same way, if one offends a Vaishnava, then his spiritual life, for all practical purposes, can be destroyed. This is the most grievous of all the offenses. Srila Prabhupada has commented on this. He states, well, why is it so grievous? Because the devotee is very dear to the Lord. We quoted this morning, love me, love my dog. The devotee is so dear to the Lord. This is the nature of love. The Lord is very dear to the devotee, and the devotee is very dear to the Lord. We can see just how dear a devotee is to the Lord, that the Lord came in one incarnation just to deliver one devotee. He thought it so important. But his devotee Prahlad Maharaj was such an exalted soul, he was being harassed by the great Asura Hiranyakashipu. Lord came, and the sole purpose of that incarnation was to deliver Prahlad Maharaj. That's how dear a devotee is to the Lord. Sadavo hridayam mayam sadunam hridayam tavaham madanyate na janati naham tebyo manak api. Stated in the 9th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, the pure devotee is always within the core of my heart, and I am always in the heart of my pure devotee. My devotees do not know anything but me, and I do not know anyone else but them. So to offend one who is dear to Krishna, when you're trying to become dear to Krishna, it's suicidal, spiritually. And which devotees are we referring to? One time, Brahmananda Prabhu was giving a lecture on the 10 offenses, an initiation ceremony that Prabhupada was doing. And he began speaking on this offense, and he said, this means that one should not offend the spiritual master who is the best of all devotees in the eyes of the disciple. Prabhupada actually stopped the lecture. He said, no, not just the spiritual master. He said, that refers to any Vaishnava. As Mahaprabhu said, Prabhu kahi yanra mukhe suni ekabhara Krishna Nam Efujaya Shrestha Sarakara. Whoever chants the holy name of Krishna just once is worshipable and is the topmost human being. So therefore, because we may consciously or we may unconsciously offend a devotee, sometimes we do it unconsciously, therefore every morning before we begin our day, we try to clear away all offenses on the path of devotion. And we begin our day by offering our obeisances to all the Vaishnavas of the world. Panchakalpa Turubhyascha, Kripa Sindhu Vaivacha, Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo. In our mind, we're not thinking, but not this devotee or not that devotee, I don't mean that devotee. No, the mentality is that we may consciously or unconsciously make offenses. Can we please have it quiet? So therefore, we chant that mantra. Very important. Pancha kalpa turubhyascha kripasindhu vaivacha patitanam bhavanevyo. So just what does it mean? Just what does it mean to criticize a devotee? It may not be so clear in our mind. If I'm criticizing a devotee, I'm not criticizing. What does it mean to criticize a devotee? Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he describes there's four types of ways that you can criticize a devotee. Number one is to criticize the last traces of that devotee's previous sins, which may manifest that that devotee may be poor, may not be very wealthy, so you make fun of the fact that he's poor. That devotee may not be very attractive. He may not have attractive features. He may appear to an external vision to be what we consider ugly. He may have a speech impediment. He may be this or that. These are some last traces, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, of one's previous activities. But because that devotee has given up material activity, surrendered to Krishna, we shouldn't see him on the material platform. We should see rather his sincere desire to surrender to Guru and Krishna. So we should never criticize a devotee for any last traces of his previous sins. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says that we should not criticize a devotee based on his birth. Oh, I'm Indian, but this devotee has taken birth in China, or this devotee has taken birth in Africa. My birth, like it's said in the Shastra, that anyone who takes birth in India is considered most fortunate. He should make his life Krishna consciousness and work to make the whole world Krishna conscious. But if you're thinking, oh, I'm better than someone else because of my birth, this is not correct. Birth is not a prerequisite for advancing in Krishna consciousness. What is required is sincere surrender. We're all Krishna's devotees. Jivar Supoya Krishnara Nityadas. And wherever we have taken our birth, anyone has the opportunity to surrender to Krishna. So not because someone is black or white or yellow or someone has taken birth here or someone did, no. Once we surrender to Krishna, we acknowledge that fact and we see all our God brothers and God sisters equally. He says another way to criticize a devotee is to criticize that devotee for some accidental fall down or momentary lapse. It may be that in the process of Krishna consciousness, because of our past conditioning, perhaps because of some temporary bad association, or we just become overwhelmed by the material energy, we may temporarily slip. We may make a mistake in Krishna consciousness, but one should not be judged by that mistake. If one wants to rectify that mistake and again take up devotional service, we shouldn't criticize a devotee for some slip-up. Prabhupada said, on this path of Krishna consciousness, many stalwarts have fallen prey to the lure of beautiful women and fame and money, so we shouldn't criticize a devotee, especially if that devotee picks himself up and continues on the path of Krishna consciousness, which itself is the purificatory process. I have one very close friend. He's a mullah. He lives in Oman. He's in charge of one mosque there. And we became very close friends. And at one function, one government function, we met and we were talking. But in order to meet each other, either he had to put on a dhoti and kirtan and associate with me, or I had to put on one of those Muslim robes. So because I was the guest in the country, I put on the Muslim robes. And I went to his home like that, because he would have got in trouble if I had to come in sannyasi dress. And somehow the devotees got a picture of it. So in the Middle East, they'd say, oh, this is Mula Maharaj. Call me Mula Maharaj. Anyway, but we had some very nice conversations based on the Bhagavad Gita and the Quran. Rather than trying to see the differences, we were trying to see what was common and how these two groups, these two religions could work together in a very nice heart. Unity and diversity. So he said one time, he said, our problem here is that sometimes, even our seniors, sometimes they fall down. And but they're serious, they're sincere, and they want to continue the process. So he said, do you have something similar in your movement? I said, yes. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, even if one performs the most abominable sin, if he's serious and rectified, remorseful, and he picks himself up and continues, then he's to be considered saintly. I said, oh, that's a very nice verse. He said, in Islam we say, if you fall down 8 times, pick yourself up 9 times. Continue. So we shouldn't criticize a devotee if there's some temporary fall. And of course, if one is continuing again and again and again and again, that may be a sign of insincerity. But if there's some temporary fall, then we shouldn't criticize. And he says, number four, that we shouldn't criticize a devotee because of his sinful activities before his surrendering to Krishna. Everyone has a skeleton in the closet, so to speak, before he came to Krishna consciousness. If not in this birth, then surely in a previous birth. We don't. Our history is a long history, not just the 20 or 30 years we've been in this world. Brahmanda Brahmati Konya, Bhagavan Ji, Guru Krishna Prasad, Bhai Bhakti Lat Bij. According to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, how long we've been here? No figure is given. Prabhupada said, since time immemorial. So you've done everything. The good, the bad, and the ugly. But that's all the past. Prabhupada said, when you come to Krishna consciousness, you take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master. Part of the process, and thank God, is that that slate of all your past deeds is all erased. The karma is taken at the moment of initiation by Guru and Krishna. You have a free slate to advance. And from now on, what do you put on that slate? Simply Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Shmaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandham, Dasyam, Sahum. So we never think, oh, I heard that devotee before he was a devotee, he didn't know. He's a Vaishnav. In the Ramayana, Ram says that anyone who comes to me and says, my dear Lord, for so long I have been nonsense, but now I want to surrender to you, please accept me. Ram says, I accept that person. He even says, if Ravana were to come to me and say, my dear Lord, for so long I have forgotten you, now I want to surrender you, please accept me. He said, I would even accept Ravana. So, Prabhupada said, he paraphrased initiation. He said, initiation means deathlessness begins at the moment of initiation. All materially we're dying and spiritually we're being reborn. This is like the Christians say, to be born again. This is second birth. First birth is from the womb of our mother, by the grace of Father. Janame, janame, sabhe, patita matthaya. Everyone gets a mother and father in this world. Even the animals, the bugs, the fish. But one who gets a spiritual fathers, because again, there's diksha and shiksha. He can achieve perfection and go back home, back to God. So we don't consider the past. Although some of that past may influence us, we have to control our mind and control our senses and engage in devotional service and overcome that difficult path. But it's possible. So what are the three ways that one can criticize a devotee? He can criticize within the mind. That's also to think ill of a devotee. He can criticize by words, or he can criticize by the body. Sometimes devotees are attacked. So what happens if we happen to offend a Vaishnava? Consciously or unconsciously, such a horrible thing, what should we do? Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, if one foolishly blasphemes a saintly devotee, one should repent, grasp the devotee's feet, weep and say, O Master, please forgive my offense, Please give a Vaishnava's mercy to this wicked blasphemer. And if that happens, it's the duty of that devotee who's been offended to forgive. He shouldn't hold grudges. We don't hold grudges in Krishna consciousness. We consider if someone says something bad about us, he's probably right in our mind. Oh yes, he's seen my real heart. And by his mercy, that blasphemer is showing me my weakness in Krishna consciousness. Let me purify my heart. In this regard, there's a nice story about Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was a very powerful preacher. He started the Gaudiya Math, temples all over the India, 50,000 disciples. Very powerful. But he had his enemies, people were envious of him. There was one personality who, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would come to Calcutta and lecture in different mosques and public forums like this. This person would come. He was what we call, modern day, we call him a heckler. He would stand up during the lecture and say, "You are simply a pretender. You don't really know this science of Krishna consciousness. You're just pretending you want name and you want fame." And many times the disciples would stand up to defend their Guru Maharaj, to throw this man out. And Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "Treat him gently. Take him out, but treat him gently." And the disciples couldn't understand what was happening. So many times he would come and he would heckle in so many different ways. Stop the lecture, disturb the lecture. So one time when Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was out at his quarters, his headquarters in Sridhar Mayapur, one morning the devotees were assembled downstairs and he was supposed to come down from his quarters upstairs to give a lecture, and just as he was coming down the stairs, one of his disciples received some information. And he ran up to the top of the stairs and told him that that wicked heckler had died of a heart attack. And he turned around, he said to all the devotees, "That nonsense heckler who was just serving our Guru Maharaj, he's died!" And all the devotees went, "Haribo! Haribo!" Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati stood at the top of the steps with tears streaming down his face. And the devotees were, "Jaja!" And suddenly they looked at Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj is not rejoicing. He's crying. Tears flowing down his eyes. And one of the devotees spoke up, "Guru Maharaj, why are you crying? A sinful, wicked man has died." Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, "No. He was helping me in my spiritual life. He was helping me to be more humble than a blade of grass." So if someone does offend us, our chest doesn't swell and say, "Yes, you offender. Oh, thank you. Thank you. You've seen something that I can't see in my heart. Thank you. I'm going to try to rectify that." But as far as the blasphemers, he should think, "Oh, like this." So everyone becomes first. You ask forgiveness, and it's the duty of one who's been offended. "Yes, I forgive you 100%. Let us work together now to spread the mission of Guru Maharaj." Well, that's the first offense to the holy name. There's 10 offenses. We won't take too long. Second offense is to consider the names of the demigods like Lord Shiva or Brahma to be equal to or independent of the name of Lord Vishnu. Demigods are great souls, but their greatness is in that they have surrendered to Krishna and they've been empowered by their Lord to administrate the universe. They're like that is not a perfect analogy, but we have our President Bush, and he has his different cabinets, and he has his cabinet ministers. He can't do all the work. Krishna could do all the work, but he gives the devotees some service to do. So the different demigods have their service. They're very powerful. According to us little puny human beings, we're in awe at what they can do. But we should never forget from where their power is coming. It's coming from Krishna. God giveth, and God taketh away. Punarmushtika bhava. If one is empowered in Krishna consciousness, he must remember that the source of his power, his ability to do anything in Krishna consciousness, coming by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. So in a moment, the demigods can be relieved of that power, or they can be embarrassed by the Lord to teach them a lesson. Indradev, he gets out of hand sometimes. He becomes offensive to the Brahmins, to the sadhus, even to the Lord himself, and Krishna has to teach him a good lesson. But because he's a sincere devotee, he learns the lesson. But the point is that he's empowered. So their names, the different names of the demigods, which are posts for the most part, they're not eternally in those, but the most pious living entity in the universe, he takes birth as Brahma. So because they're jivatmas, Their names are not like the Lord's names. Lord's name is Namah Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. His name is none different than himself. So if you chant the name of Shiva, well, that's a different. But if you chant the name of Brahma or Indra, Ganesha, it's not the same as chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Worshipping the demigod, you can get some material blessings. Worshipping Krishna, you get full blessings to go back home, back to God. The third offense is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. This is a very grievous offense. By the mercy of the spiritual master, by his instruction, we're being gradually led, step by step, out of the material world into the spiritual world. To lose faith in those instructions or disobey it, that's, again, spiritual suicide for the aspiring devotee. To blaspheme Vedic literature, or literature in pursuance of the Vedic version. The Vedas were produced by the Lord at the beginning of creation. As you could say, a type of manual or handbook, how to live a simple life in this world, how to live in the most intelligent way within this world, and how to get out of this world. That's so important. If you're in the dark, dangerous forest, you don't know your way out, and someone hands you a map, you consider yourself very fortunate. If you follow that map, you get out of darkness, you get out of ignorance. So we should have great faith in the Vedic Shastras, which emanated from the mouth of the Lord, and not blaspheme them. And that means literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version, like Bible or Quran, or the Lotus Sutras of Buddha or the Torah. They may not be on the same level as our Vaishnava scriptures, which are Amala Puran, completely pure in their explanation of religion, but they're a step in the right direction. Confucius said that the longest journey begins with the first step. So because we're on a higher rung doesn't necessarily mean we're better, it just means we're more fortunate. We met Srila Prabhupada. So we shouldn't blaspheme other scriptures which may guide one gradually towards the right direction. In that regard, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he was raised in British India, which was, the British were trying to introduce Christianity, and a lot of the schools were run by Christian missionaries, so he was raised in that way, and when he finally came in contact with the sublime teachings of Lord Chaitanya, the complete picture, he said in one of his writings, he considered Lord Chaitanya his Eastern Savior, referring to his Western Savior was Jesus, but his Eastern Savior was Lord Chaitanya. One was God, one was the Son of God, but he had great respect in that way. So we should also, we shouldn't try to see so much the differences, but what we have in common, and focus on that and try to work together. It would be better if the religions of the world worked together than worked against each other, which is very much happening in our modern society. To consider the glories of chanting Hare Krishna to the imagination. We hear the glories of the Lord in the scriptures. For example, in the Nectar of Devotion, there's one passage which states that when the Rath Yatra chariot passes by, if even an infidel, even a low-born dog eater stands up, he's to be, out of respect for the Lord on the chariot, Jagannath, he's then to be considered an eternal associate of Vishnu. Wow. Just because he stood up out of respect for the Rath cart going by, he's to be considered an eternal associate of Vishnu? One of my godbrothers read that, and he went to Prabhupada in Los Angeles Temple, and he said, Prabhupada, here it says in Nectar of Devotion that if some low-born, sinful person stands up in front of the chariot, he's to be considered an eternal... I've been practicing Krishna consciousness for 10 years now. I'm still struggling. I don't know if I'm going to go back to God. I chant Hare Krishna every day and refrain from sinful activity. There's no guarantee. I'm going to be born again as a devotee. So Prabhupada said, where did it say that? That someone can be considered an eternal associate of Vishnu. He just stands up. So devotee said, oh, here in your Nectar of Devotion. So Prabhupada, let me see. So Prabhupada read it. So he said, so it is said you're the... It must be so. So these are not imaginations, extraordinary statements. But it's clear, it's qualified that it may happen in certain circumstances, not all the time, but that is the power of devotional service, and we can hope it happens to us. Number six, to give some interpretation on the holy name of the Lord. We learn what the holy name means by hearing from the pure devotee. Some people may speculate, oh, Krishna, Krishna also means black. So black means darkness. So if I take shelter of the dark, evil things in this world, I can become God. No, this is some interpretation. Krishna means the reservoir of all pleasure. To commit sinful activities, number 7, the strength of chanting the holy names of the Lord. Again, we've discussed numerous times how Vishnu Purana says, by just chanting one name of God sincerely, you wipe out lifetimes of sinful reactions. Oh, pretty nice. So I'll go out and commit some sinful activity, and just come back home and chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The holy name is a person. You can't fool God. Sri Nam Prabhu. The holy name is God personified. He's conscious. The holy name is conscious. He's Krishna. You think you can cheat on Krishna? Watch out. Krishna says, of cheaters, I am the gambling of the cheats. Number 8, to consider the chanting of Hare Krishna as one of the auspicious ritualistic activities offered in the Vedas and fruitive activities. There is a portion of the Vedas called Karma Kanda, which is meant to gradually encourage the persons who are too addicted to material activity to at least regulate that activity, recognize that the results of your activities are or the fruit of that activity is coming by higher authority, the demigods and the Supreme Lord. So they perform ritualistic activities and regulate their material desires and their material activities, and gradually they become purified. But chanting Hare Krishna is not that. Our goal is not to obtain some position in Svarga Loka. Our goal is to go back home, back to God. And so the chanting of Hare Krishna is much more powerful than the Karmakanda section. We go back home, back to Godhead by chanting Hare Krishna. We don't desire any material benediction. Number 9, to instruct a faithless person about the glories of the holy name. As Jesus said, we shouldn't throw pearls before the swine. The person is faithless. We shouldn't instruct him in the intimate glories of the Lord. Like, we have access. We're very fortunate. Causeless mercy. We have access to the sublime pastimes of the Lord as they're described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. But you have to have a basic understanding of philosophy, how God is great and you are very small, so that you respect God. You understand that those intimate loving dealings in Vrindavan are not some material emotions. They're completely pure and they're completely transcendental. But if you explain these things to persons who are not qualified, then you become an offender, because that person will make jest of Krishna. So Krishna is some mundane lover or something like this. So then you'll become implicated in that offense yourself. So basically, when we go out and preach, we tell people how they're not their body. We talk to them about the law of karma, the law of reincarnation. We give them the positive alternative, very simple: singing, dancing, and feasting. This is our preaching to the general masses. And finally, number 10, to not have complete faith in the chanting of the holy names and to maintain material attachments, even after understanding so many instructions on this matter. The idea is that if we're properly practicing Krishna consciousness, we should see some visible advancement. Advancement means two things: that we're giving up our material desires, we're becoming enthusiastic to serve Krishna. If you find yourself struggling to give up your material desires, you're not so inspired in your Krishna consciousness, you have to reassess your practice of devotional service. Go to your spiritual master, say, Guru Maharaj, I'm not so enthusiastic. But as Hari Vilas said the other day, Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita that this process is joyfully performed. So if you're not joyful in Krishna consciousness, you're doing something wrong, okay, go to your guru and ask for some clarification to reassess your... That's why we have a guru, to guide us step by step out of the material world into the spiritual world. So these are some thoughts on the matter of the 10 offenses. We ask the nishas to consider this very carefully, because they're being blessed today by the chanting of Hare Krishna. If they can avoid these offenses, they can make very rapid advancement. So we'd like to ask all the devotees to give their blessings. Narottam Das Thakur says, Hari Guru Vaishnava. We are blessed by God, we're blessed by Guru, but we're also blessed by the Vaishnavas, one who thinks he can be Krishna conscious living outside the association of devotees. He's very much mistaken. So you are all Vaishnavas, you're all blessed by the Lord. You please give some of your blessings to these devotees so they can become Krishna conscious. It's not so easy to become Krishna conscious. Daiviesha gunamai mama maya duratiya. A little help from our friends, it's possible. So I'd like you to all raise your hands very high in the air. And you repeat after me. Sadhu!
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 In this way, you're giving your blessings to these four very nice devotees. Again, I consider they're ready for initiation, not because of anything I've done, but because of what the leader of this community, Hari Vilas Prabhu, has done. So please, give your recognition to Hari Vilas Prabhu. Raise your hands again. Sadhu!
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 Chinda Prabhupada ki!
Jai!
Back home, back to Godhead ki!
Jai!
Hare Krishna Mahamantra ki!
Jai!
Okay, so now we're going to proceed. This is a very nice part of the ceremony where the devotees come forward and they take their vows, follow the regular principles, and to chant Hare Krishna, and they get their beads, which have been chanted on by the spiritual master, and they get their new names. Very exciting part. So we'd like everyone to focus now. And so we'd like to distribute all the drums here, all the kartals, because when the devotees get their new names, we want a tumultuous uproar expression of joy from all the Vaishnava community that these devotees have taken this big, great step forward in their Krishna consciousness. So get the drums and the kartals ready. So the initiates can remain seated on them ready. So we'd like to ask Mukesh to come forward to give his vows and receive his beads and his name. So Mukesh, what are the four rules and regulations that you promised to follow?
No intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, and no meat eating. 16 rounds.
We're very happy to accept you as our duly initiated disciple. Work very enthusiastically and vigorously in this community, first and foremost, to build a very beautiful temple that will come not necessarily by some financial means, but will actually be manifest by the enthusiasm of the devotees who please should come and have a nice home for your beautiful deity. So you cooperate and commit to do that, to be very strong in your spiritual life. You're taking a vow, keep that vow for your entire life, and chant very enthusiastically, and take care of your two very beautiful children as well. So we're giving you a name of one of the cowherd boys of Vrindavan, one of Krishna's favorite cowherd boys. From this day on, your name should be Rasa Chandra Das. Be a good wife, because what are the four rules and regulations that you promise to follow for the rest of your life?
No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, including fish, eggs, onions, garlics, and camping. And no missing sex. 16.
So we're very happy to accept you as our duly initiated disciple. We will do everything in our power to take you to the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. I feel this is the primary duty of these kind of gurus, because Prabhupada is Prabhupada, he's our founder Acharya. And Prabhupada means he at whose feet all the masters sit. So he will deliver the spiritual masters and all their disciples in this form. So I'll try to connect you to him by setting a nice example and preaching purely as Hari Vilas is instructing us, without adding or subtracting anything. And take you back home, back to Godhead, where we'll be safe and sound. So, Madhavi, which is a very good example of a Krishna-conscious wife, there's lots of glorification of ladies in Vedic culture. Sometimes it's misunderstood that Westerners, they think the ladies have a back seat here and they're not. But if you study the scriptures, you see anyone who comes forward in Krishna-conscious, man or woman, they set very good examples. So there's so many examples of ladies. And I think now, Deepu is a very nice example of the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The two sons, where are your sons? They should stand up. Stand up. Namaste, Krishna. Yeah, stand up. There they go. Give those boys a good applause for their. So because you're such a good mother, we're going to give you a name as one of your children. It's kind of an affectionate name, like Lord Govinda, sometimes it's called Govinda G. So in one song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Yasumati Nandana Brajavananaha. So in that beautiful song, Mother Yasoda is called Yasumati. So from this day forth, your name should be Yasumati Dasi.
Yasumati Dasi Ki!
It's a very pretty name, Yasumati. Hemanta, the last time, Hemanta. So, Hemanta, what are the rules and regulations that we promise to follow for the rest of the day?
There is no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication, and no meat eating, including fish and eggs. Or minimum 16 pounds.
So, it's not so nice to see so many devotees. This congregation taking Krishna comes sincerely and coming up to the point of initiation. Actually, there's a large group of congregation here, and we hope that you won't remain on the peripheral edge of the society, but that you'll not just, Prabhupada said, lick the jar of honey and be that far away from the sweetness. You have to open up the jar, stick your finger in, and take the honey, the sweetness. So that means becoming serious about chanting. And of course it's gradual. We started 2 rounds, 4 rounds, 6 rounds. But at some point we should remember that life is short. And the real business of life is to become Krishna conscious. So make an extra effort to chant 16 rounds. If you're having some difficulty following the regular principles, it will come naturally as a result of the discipline. So here's a very nice example. Very nice devotee, serious, hardworking devotee in your community. He shaved his head for initiation. So we're going to give you a very beautiful name. Combined name of Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Extra mercy there. From this day on, your name shall be Madhava Gaurangadas.
Madhava Gaurangadas ki!
What are the rules and the regulations that you promise to follow?
No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And I would chant minimum 16 rounds of Hare Krishna.
We're very happy to accept you as our duty initiative. Aside from, we'll do everything in our power to help you advance and go back home, back to Godhead. Actually, initiation is a contract in one sense that disciple promises the guru, but the guru also has the burden of love to ensure that the disciple becomes Krishna conscious and goes back to the spiritual world. So with the combined help of your very spiritual authorities and the wonderful Vaishnavas in this community, we hope that in this lifetime, you can go back home. And one initiation ceremony in 1932, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati declared very boldly. He said, I see no reason why all my disciples would not go back home that you've got in one lifetime. How do we do that? We do that by being very, very serious about our sadhana. We don't compromise on our sadhana. And we work very vigorously in our service, which is all connected to the Sankirtan movement, to help spread the message of the Lord Chaitanya. So I said it in the last talk here, this visit, I'll say it again. Everyone should work very hard to build this beautiful temple. It shouldn't just be a picture on the wall for very long. It should become manifest, and it's a community effort. Many hands make small work. So if your desire is as deep as Hari Vilas Prabhu is to see this temple manifest. I think that temple will manifest within a very short time. And to inspire you and your contribution to this community, we're giving you a very beautiful name. It will always remind you the ultimate goal of going back to Vrindavan. There's many wonderfully illustrious devotees there. And Srimati Radharani, she has her sakis and her manjaris who are her intimate servants. And one of the group leaders of the gopi. She's a very extraordinary gopi. She's described throughout the great history. I'm going to give you her name. You're her servant like that. So from this day forth, your name shall be Shyamala.
Seattle is gone key. Hobart is gone key. Jesus is gone in the spiritual sky key.